in worship and into God's presence. What a great day it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. He's such a good God. He loves us so much. And I know that my brother here prayed already, but I'd just like to say one prayer, one more prayer, because you can never pray too much. Father, we come before you. Our hearts are bowed to you this morning in worship and praise, because we know what a good God you are, that you love us so much, so unconditionally, that you gave, Lord, that you took action, that you saw our condition, you saw where we were headed through our sin, and you said, it's my heart to not lose one of these. And so you sent your son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross in forgiveness of our sins and to change us from the inside out. Lord, as we look to your word today, we know that it's your heart that we become more and more like your son, Jesus, who was full of truth and grace. So help us to be that to others as we continue to dive in and look at the way we engage culture. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. It's so good. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Jason. I'll be your pastor this morning. And it's my pleasure to share God's word. I've got a story to tell you. The youth have already heard it, so bear with me, guys. Maybe you'll catch something new this time around. But it was probably, I want to say, maybe 2000. Lived in Southern California. Lived in this place called Rancho Cucamonga. Anybody know where that's at? Okay, nice. So I worked for the Los Angeles Times newspaper. I worked for them for about 3 years. And it was fun, a lot, really exciting stuff. So, and I did a lot of different things. But at this moment, I was working with hotels. And my job was to get our newspaper into hotels. Maybe you've seen this when newspapers were a thing, right? You would open up your door and there was a newspaper right outside your door. So I helped with getting that into hotels. So I was going to see a client, and I was in Redondo Beach. And so I had just finished lunch at my favorite fish taco place called Captain Kidd's. Man, it was so good. I miss Captain Kidd's. I'm not even sure if it's still around. But so I was on my way to see a client. I was feeling pretty good because I was full of fish tacos. And I came up to an intersection, and it was like a T. So I was turning left. And so I proceeded to turn left. Everything was great, you know, just singing my song and enjoying life. And then all of a sudden, and so when I turned left, you know, I kind of got into the far right lane when I turned. And then all of a sudden, I just heard this, this is honking, and I was like, oh, and it startled me, and I looked back, and there here comes this guy right alongside me, and he's just like throwing his fist at me and honking and like, what are you doing? And I'm like, whoa. And apparently, so I didn't realize this, but there were two lanes that were turning left. And I thought there was just one lane. So I turned into this guy's lane, and I cut him off. Wasn't intentional, but I cut him off. And he was offended. He was mad. He was giving me the what for, you know, and I'm starting to get angry. It's like, who does this guy think he is? You know, so he rolls up beside me, and he's just doing this. And so the Holy Spirit came over me because I'm such a holy guy, you know, right? And I went like this, roll down your window, you know? And so he rolls down his window, and I think he's thinking, we're going to get into it. Like, let's bring it, buddy. So he rolls down his window. He looks at me, you know, his face is all wrinkled. And I said, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, it's okay. And that's what he did. I'm serious. That's what he did. Really? It's okay. And I'm like, look, I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know your lane turned. It's my fault. Please forgive me. He's like, no, that's okay. And boom, the situation was diffused, right? I often think about that because I'm going to be honest. Every bit of me wanted to be offended by this guy, you know, who was offended at me, and he was very angry because I cut him off. And in my offense to him, I could have got angry. I could have justified that anger, like, look, it wasn't my fault. Who does this guy think he is? I didn't know the lane turned. You have no right to be offended at me. And I could have gave him the what for. I could have talked with him in sign language, you know, if you know where I'm going with that. I could have did that. Yeah. And I wanted to. But I didn't. And I thank God that I didn't let my offense win that day, because things could have gotten really ugly. And I don't often win in this realm. I have let my offense taken over in my heart many, many times, which has led me to lots of anger in my life. And so what I'm going to talk about today, I just want you to know I'm working on. I'm a work in progress myself. Perhaps you are too. But I want to say this: offense produces anger and resentment. And folks, nothing good ever comes of it. And over the last couple weeks, we've been wrestling with culture, right? We've been wrestling on how do we live in the world, but not be of the world as Christ followers? Or to put it another way, how do we engage cultures that do not share the same truth and values as we do? How do we engage culture? I think about this all the time. This is always on my brain. And it's a struggle. But here's what I believe that God has made absolutely clear to me through his word. And today, folks, I would love if you can embrace this. This truth that we should not engage culture through offense. We just shouldn't. Why? Well, because the Bible makes it clear that we should actually forfeit our right to be offended and angry and harbor anger towards each other. And you may be thinking, nah, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says righteous anger is good, and we should be angry, and we should, you know, fight against the world. Maybe you're even offended by what I just said. We're going to work on that. I'm going to prove it to you. And the best way I can do that is if we look at God's word, Scripture. Let's look at what God says about offense and anger and what we are to do with it. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, it'll be on the screen. Can you go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2? We're going to look at verses 24 through 26 at this moment. I hear the pages turning. Okay. It says this. So, this is the Apostle Paul. Do you know that who that guy is? Writing to Timothy, his mentee. Paul has poured everything into Timothy. He's getting Timothy ready to lead the church. So he's instructing Timothy in this, and I believe he's instructing us as well. And he says this: and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. As we look at this verse, I believe that we can extract this. Offense is a trap of the enemy. How so? Well, let's just look at the word offense real quick and bring out a simple definition. It'll be on the screen. Offense is the act of creating hurt, anger, resentment, displeasure, etc. That's what offense does to us. If we look at it from a biblical perspective, the word offense, if we look at it in the Greek, it comes from the word skandalon, which certainly means scandalous, right? So, What this word originally referred to is the part of the trap to which the bait was attached. Follow? It's like laying a trap. A fence is laying a trap in someone's way. And if we look at the New Testament, a fence is described as an entrapment used by the enemy. The devil uses a fence to bring you and me into captivity. He traps us. He ensnares us. And that's not good. So let's think about this in a cultural sense, right? There's a non-biblical worldview culture out there, right? That we in the church are exposed to every day. Folks, this is our reality. This was Timothy's reality. So we're exposed to this every day, right? And when a biblical worldview, which is what the church holds, clashes with a non-biblical worldview, we butt up against each other every day. You can bet that a fence will find its way into the heart of people on both sides of the aisle. And folks, when that happens, when offense ensnares us and traps us and anger sets in and all that stuff that follows, here's what happens. We cannot be a good witness for Christ when we are held captive by our offense. We just can't, because that trap blurs the truth and the grace of God. It blurs it. It waters it down. That's what offense does. So what does Paul tell us to do? What does he tell us to choose instead of offense? He says, let's choose kindness. Let's choose patience and gentleness. Folks, these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are things of God. These are the actions that keep us from the trap, right? This allows us, as we engage with cultures, to see and express clearly the truth and the grace of Christ Jesus. You know, I think about that guy I cut off. If I would have let my offense and my anger take a foothold, oh boy, things would have gone from bad to worse. If I would have let my anger take a foothold, and again, I let my anger take a foothold a lot back then. I was pretty good at it, and things got ugly every time I did. So I've learned not to let anger take a foothold. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 4. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Some of you may be thinking, look, Paul says be angry, so it's okay to be angry, right? No, that's not what he's saying. Other translations say, in your anger. What Paul is saying is, folks, anger happens. It happens to all of us because it's a natural human emotion. We're gonna get angry, right? But certainly God knows that we are not good at appropriately handling our anger. So God wants us to get rid of it immediately, as fast as we can. That's what Paul's saying here. We're going to get angry, but get rid of it. Because you can't really handle it. When the sun goes down on our anger, when we let anger thrive and fester, and get the best of us, and the sun goes down, oh my gosh, things go from bad to worse quickly. Who likes Star Wars? Come on, I gotta have some Star Wars fans in this room. I'm gonna show you a quick little clip of what I believe illustrates this thought pretty good. So take a look at the screen.
I'm being torn apart. I want to be free of this pain. I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. Will you help me?
Yes, anything.
Thanks, Dad, for helping me kill you. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Did you guys kind of notice what was going on in that scene? It's one of my favorite scenes because you just see, so the guy's name was Kylo Ren, right? And this guy's full of anger. He has been hurt. He's carrying resentment and bitterness because he's got dad issues, obviously, you know? But he's also been hurt a lot. I mean, his own master, Luke Skywalker, tried to kill him at one point, if you know the story. And so he's conflicted. He's almost at the dark point of where his anger is going to bring him. But he's not quite there yet. So he asks his father to help, right? And there's that moment where he could have did the right thing, but then you see the last rays of the sun go out. The clouds just make it dark. And all of a sudden, the whole mood changes to darkness, right? And then, boom, he runs him through. And he kills his dad. He let the sun go down on his anger. He went to the point of no return. And this is what happens when we let anger fester and we don't appropriately deal with it that stems from the offenses in our life. It goes from bad to worse. And folks, that's our second truth. Offense only makes things worse. We see Kylo kill his own dad, and maybe you think, I'm not that bad. I mean, come on, Jay, isn't that a little dramatic? I'm not killing anyone. No, and I'm not either. Praise the Lord, right? But let's not forget what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. He said, "You've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment." What does that mean? Well, Jesus always got to the heart of the matter, right? He's always checking our hearts. Yes, you can physically kill someone and you're subject to judgment, but I say this, if you're harboring anger in your heart, it's kind of the same thing. You're killing someone in your heart. And that's tough to hear, isn't it? That's tough to swallow. When I think of that, it just makes me feel all, I don't like that. But these are the words of Jesus, and they're true. They're non-negotiable. And so when I hear that, I think, yes, I've murdered people in my heart. I've done it. Have you? I'm not proud of it. I was good at it. Back in the day, I was angry at so many people in my heart. Jesus said, that's kind of like murder. And I needed to get rid of it. All that anger was springing from the offenses that I was carrying, that resentment, that bitterness that I carried from my childhood, a lot of unforgiveness. The way I saw people in the world, That's how I reacted, because I was in Satan's trap. And he had his grips in me. It was tough. I'm not proud of it. I practiced anger. I didn't practice peace. It was my relationships a lot were chaotic, even in my own family sometimes, towards my own wife. I'm not proud of it. The Bible makes it clear, we can either practice relationships in chaos, or we can practice relationships in peace. We can engage culture chaotically, or we can engage culture peacefully. Look at Proverbs 29:11. It says this, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Love that. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. And then lastly, Psalm 37:8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Wow. Do you see the pattern there? It's almost like we're creating a list. And we can create a list out of these three verses. A list of chaos and a list of peace. We put up the list of chaos. This is a chaotic relationship. When we are foolish, and our foolishness, that produces a full rage in us. We don't want that. If we're hot-tempered all the time, all it does is stir up conflict within our relationships with each other. If we agonize over things, if we're stewing on things all day long, all night long, which I've done, that will lead to sin, the Bible says. But there's a better way. There's peaceful relationships. If we're wise, meaning we apply God's word in every situation, we know how to effectively apply God's word in every situation, that brings calm into our relationships. Isn't that nice? Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. If we're patient, another word for that is long-suffering, if we can endure those hard relational things, just be patient, it brings calm to our hearts and our minds. If we refrain, which means to hold back, to renounce our anger and our offense, that just brings wisdom. Think about maybe, where are you at? Are you in the peace column right now? Are you in the chaos column? I know that God wants us all to be in the peace column, but we need his help to do that. I'm generally in the peace column, but sometimes I can trip into the chaos column. You know what I mean? And God needs to get me back on track. Because I've been a fool. I've been hot-tempered. But by the grace of God, I've also learned how to be calm and patient and hold back and not let my anger get a foothold and drive me in my relationships with others. Now, I know that the Bible talks about God's anger, that God's offended by our sin. I know in the Gospels, Jesus supposedly got angry when he went into the temple and he saw people buying and selling goods and he flipped over the tables. And you would say, that's righteous anger. That's good. We can have righteous anger, can't we? Well, here's what I'd like to say about that. Yes, God gets angry. God demands justice. But God's anger is not like our anger. See, only God's anger is perfect. So our last truth is God's anger is not like our anger. Look what it says here in James chapter 1, verse 20. James says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Here's the kicker. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That's pretty telling, I think. Again, only God's anger can be perfect. We can't handle anger. We can't handle anger. Here's why. Here's why our anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Because our anger is often driven by sin and seldom the righteousness of God. Walk this road with me. Here's what I mean. We get offended, right? Somebody something says, or just we're carrying in our heart, we get offended. That offense turns into anger, resentment, bitterness, etc., right? How do we respond often? Well, we respond by perhaps canceling that person. We're in a cancel culture, are we not? I don't want anything to do with that person. I want that person out of my life. I'm done with that person. They're not good enough to be my friend anymore. So you just completely hit the eject button on your relationship with that person. You never give that a chance. We end up condemning the person for how they hurt us, right? It's not my fault, it's your fault. We seek to get even. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, but I'm going to hurt you more, right? We slam the person behind their back. We gossip behind each other's back. We look for allies. Maybe we take to social media and we start slamming that person. We see it all the time, don't we? And we justify it. All in the name of righteous anger. Now, does any of that sound like the righteousness of God? Mm-mm. And I've done all this. Here's who God is. Here's the righteousness of God. In Psalm 145:8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." That is the righteousness of God. And what we can conclude from that psalm is this. God is perfect in his love. He's perfect in his love. He's perfect in his grace. He's perfect in his mercy. And he's perfect in his anger and in his judgment. Only God can be perfect in all that. In his perfect anger towards our sin, the nature of God, the character of God, is never poisoned by bitterness. Never. God can handle anger. We can't. So the best thing that we can do is get rid of anger before it handles us. John Bevere, he's one of my favorite authors. He wrote this book called The Bait of Satan, The Trap of Offense. It's a great book. I recommend it. He said this, "The soil of an offended heart is barren, poisoned by bitterness." I think he's making it clear, based on what Scripture says, we just can't handle anger appropriately. So we just need to get rid of it. Because anger poisons the heart and it poisons our bodies physically. Did you know that? Constant anger and bitterness and resentment, it takes its toll on us physically and mentally, folks. I've done some study. How does anger poison us physically? Look, studies have shown, medical studies have shown that anger can have a direct impact on cardiovascular diseases. People who are prone to anger were twice at risk for coronary disease than their less angry peers. Anger's not good for the heart. Anger clogs the heart. Anger can contribute to an unhealthy lifestyle. Our anger leads us to anesthetize because we want to feel good about ourselves. But if we're always angry, how do we get rid of it? So we choose alcohol and drugs and wrong living, things that we think are good for us that'll kind of numb that anger and that pain, but all it does in the end is it's temporary and it leaves us wanting. So anger can cause us to get into those vices that we need to stay away from. It's been shown that anger is linked to depression and aggression, especially in men. So men, we got work to do. Our anger leads to depression. I know, I've been there. Finally, stress is very tightly linked to general health. If you're stressed and angry, it will actually shorten your lifespan. Now, you can go to any medical site on the internet and look these facts up, and you'll find, and you can prove me right. But I think it's a big deal. And let me tell you, I've lived this. Many years I was in a battle against my own anger. And it stemmed a lot from my childhood. I was carrying a lot of hurt, a lot of resentment, a lot of offense. My lens was just a lens of offense because of the way I grew up and the way I was treated. And I was so angry. And I was like leaving a wake of destruction in many of my relationships because of this. But at one point, when we were living in Oregon, all of a sudden I started getting all these physical ailments, and I was still very, very angry. My stomach was always in knots. It felt like I had an ulcer. I was having a lot of acid reflux all the time. I was taking all sorts of medication. I started going on antidepressants because I was always like anxiety ridden because of my anger. I lost like 25 pounds. I was a rail. And I'm not even that heavy to begin with. So I just looked like I was withering away. I couldn't sleep. Couldn't focus. The funny thing is I went in to get checked, and like physically, medically, you know, they did a scope down the throat. They did a scope the other way, which I won't talk about. And, you know, and they would check the blood pressure, everything. Jason, medically, you're okay. It was up here, and it was right here. The anger was just wreaking havoc on my life. And I had to get rid of it. I had to spring that trap that I was in. Let me tell you, it took a while. You know, I sat with my pastor, who I love that man to this day, and he walked me through a process of forgiveness. Literally, first forgiving myself for all the dumb things I did and I was holding over myself. And then forgiving the others that hurt me. And it took a while. I wrote like pages and pages of things that I'd ever done or things that people had done to me. And then I had to just go through the process of forgiving. Just forgiving. And that anger slowly dissipated. And that offense slowly started to just leave me. And God was working. The Holy Spirit was working. And so I took all that at the end. And I literally put it in a like a fire pit. And I burned all those pages. I said, that's it. I'm free from that trap. Praise the Lord. I don't know where you're at this morning. Some of you may be just ensnared in your anger and your offense. I want you to know that God wants and He can deliver you from that. He wants to spring that trap. Those of you who are doing great, praise the Lord. Make sure you say, thank you, Lord, that I have peace in my life and my relationships and the way I engage others. But I'll tell you, sometimes this stuff is just hard to get out of. I want to recommend a couple of books. First of all, I'm always going to recommend the Bible first. That's our first go-to for any of life, anything about life and how to live life and how to see God and know what he wants for us. Always go to the Bible first. But God actually has blessed people and given them wisdom on how to write other books to help us so we can kind of arm ourselves as best we can. This book I had mentioned already, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere, really, really gets to the heart of the matter of what our offense can do to us and how we can get out of it. I mean, this was eye-opening. There was a time back at my old church where I went through some hard stuff with some people, and there was a lot of offense going around, and this book opened up my eyes to so many things, and I'm thankful. This book here is called Unoffendable. It's by Brant Hansen. This is another great book. These two are highly related in what it talks about. He really talks a lot about anger in this book. This book's a lot more about just the offense and where it comes from and the different how offense looks differently in each one of our lives and how we can deal with it. So I do recommend both of these books. You can get them on Amazon. If you're a Kindle reader like I am, you can download them pretty cheap to your Kindle reader. Lastly, I just want to leave you with this verse. This is the game right here, folks. This is really where God desires us all to be. But it's a process. Ephesians 4, chapter 31 through 32 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Here it is, folks. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, I think about that last piece. This is the why we get rid of, because of what Christ did for us. Now, think about it. Jesus, if anyone had a right to be offended, it was Jesus. He was beaten, mocked, and scorned, ridiculed, constantly under attack. But he always moved in truth and grace. He never got offended. He never fought fire with fire. No, what did he do? Instead of being offended and angry and retaliatory, he went to the cross and gave his life willingly so that we could be forgiven and be set free of the trap that the devil puts us in. That's the why. And if we're going to try to be like Jesus, which we should, then we follow the example of Jesus by forgiving each other just as God has forgiven us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And I just want to say one more thing. Some of you might be thinking, is Pastor Jason a pacifist? Is he all about love and turn your back on all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world and, you know, and this and that? And emphatically, no. Absolutely not. In fact, if you know me, you know I'm like a warrior for the gospel. And when I see the atrocities in the world, I want to do something about it. When I see people trapped in sin and darkness, I want to do something about it. But there's a way to go about it. And folks, what we learned is we don't go through it by the way of offense and anger, but we go through it by the way of love. And next week, I'm going to talk about that and how we can do that, both inside the church outside the church. Let's pray and then we'll receive the offering and we'll continue to worship. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for your word this morning. It's so good. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Father, help us. Help us to become the people that you've called us to be. We give you praise, Lord, for the way you're working in our lives, for the things that you have sprung the trap, the way you have liberated us, first and foremost, from our debt and our destination of eternal separation because of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life so we didn't have to, for forgiving us when we didn't deserve it, for loving us when we were so caught and ensnared in our sin. You forgave us. We are so eternally thankful. Now help us to live out that gratefulness through our obedience, through our love to others. And Lord, I pray for those who are struggling this morning. Maybe this idea of offense and anger just stirred and brought things to life, and now it's time to deal. Lord, please help your people that you love. Give them your grace. Fill them with your power, your transforming power. Oh, Lord, we need you. If there's anyone in this room this morning who has been convicted about where they stand with the Lord, and you have yet to commit your heart to Jesus Christ, you just heard about his grace, his acceptance, and his invitation to come to him and surrender your life. If that's you, if you want to do that this morning, if you are ready to start your new life and walk with Jesus, say these words in your heart. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you. I believe, Jesus, that you went to the cross to die for my sin and to forgive me of all my trespasses. So I give my heart and I give my life to you. And I promise to follow you now and all the rest of the days of my life." And Father, as we turn our hearts to our tithe and offering, I just pray that you would impress upon our hearts what it is that you would have us give this morning. That we would offer you our first fruits, our very best, because you've done the same for us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.